You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. On Ash Wednesday, dust in the wind. Mike and I are Catholic, so I thought I'd play some kind of Catholic-themed music. Because when you get your ashes, they say, remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. That used to freak me out as a kid, I'm not going to lie to you. I hated it. I hated Ash Wednesday, because then the rest of the day I'd think about dying, and it upset me as a little guy. So, just so you know.
I was a Catholic, Mark.
You were a Catholic. Now he's just a happy guy who goes to some kind of organizational situation. The Mike Musselman back with us. What's up, Gunner?
What's up? Don't yell.
Nothing, man. Good to have you back on. We missed you.
What's that static?
It's Rudy.
Oh, God.
What?
Yeah, you... Hey, roll your window up or stop driving. Good God, man. What is wrong with you?
It's not me. I just crystal clear. I've got the brand new Tundra. There's no static in the background.
Oh, there's nothing but static. Okay, these two guys are both Gunner's actually had surgery. So, Mike, tell us about your surgery.
Well, I wasn't awake for it, so I don't know.
Oh, no? Hasn't lost your sense of humor or your ability to be a dick? Nice.
Yeah.
You would think the medication would have tempered some of that.
No, the medication, I'll talk about the medication in a little bit, but no. Surgery went fine. It just, it's really one of those, you go down into post-op or pre-op and everybody's talking to you and they're telling you to say your name and your birth date 16 times. And then, when they start wheeling you back, the nurse anesthesiist pulls out two little syringes and like, all right, I made you a little cocktail, and puts them in my IV. And I'm like, what? Next thing I know, you're waking up in your hotel room, or in your hotel room, in your hospital room. And, that's it. So, yeah, it went fine.
How long have you been dealing with your gallbladder? Or is it something that just came up?
Well, no. Apparently, now this is good. Everybody's sitting down, right?
You're right.
Well, apparently the VA didn't catch this, that I had gallstones in all of the tests that I've done. So they didn't see this one, and then it was a misdiagnosis of, what they thought was GERD, so reflux disease.
Wow.
So then, of course, they gave me pills for it. But what ended up happening was going to a real doctor, found out that someone that really knows medicine, found out that it's the gallbladder because then it's not functioning correctly. It's got all these gallstones in it, and it was inflamed, and it dumps bile. I mean, it's just back and forth, so they removed it. And since they removed it, man, I feel, like, other than the pain of the surgery, I feel great. So,
So how long have you been, do you have any idea how long you've been dealing with that?
No, I have no idea. It could have been, when I was still active duty. But again, it's that whole, I went through this, the thing that pisses me off is I went through this with the VA for almost a year. And they took all this tests and they came back and all this stuff and came back and said, oh, you just got gastro reflux disease. Here's some pills. So, like I said, every once in a while you meet somebody that really knows how to practice medicine. And they turn your life around. So, kind of neat.
I'm getting emails. Mac Gunner just got out of the hospital, and you just called him a dick. Well, I wouldn't have said that if he didn't act like a dick. He was so
I wasn't acting like one, so thank you for standing up for me. I was just...
Hey, who was there for you when you were live broadcasting as you left the hospital? Was Rudy there? No. Your boy Mac was, right?
Yeah, no.
Thank you. All right, and now Knowles is... I don't know if he's still there because I can't hear any other chronic crazy noise.
That's because I muted it. You guys are complaining too much.
Well, come on, man. We're putting you on. You're on coast to coast like Pitbull, and then you come on with some weak ass audio. It's like totally not like an aviator would be in terms of professionalism.
Yeah, clear comms are required.
thank you.
No, I remember Mike. I remember Gunner battling that crap when we him and I were riding. When we were cycling together, he started having problems. That was 2013-ish, 2012. I mean, that's been like 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
He's been battling this. Yeah. Crazy.
All right. And so you had a colonoscopy because you're having your own issues. We're doing all old man radio today.
Yeah.
So colonoscopy.
Old man radio.
How'd that go for you?
I gotta say, I'm really digging it, man. I'm really digging it. I highly recommend the colonoscopy. I really do. It was like great. Love it.
Mike, I told you, Mike.
I told you it's great. Yeah. I'm telling you, I've been telling everybody. The first thing I talked to is Lance Jackla. I told Lance, I said, dude, you gotta go get this done. Like, it's like great. So, yeah. I'm serious.
I'm afraid to ask this question, but I'm going to ask it. What was the best part of it?
The cleanse. The cleanse was the best. I feel all like fresh, like cleaned out. It's like dropping your car off at a mechanic, and they come back, it's fully serviced and detailed. You're like, woohoo! Running great, looking good. I mean, it's like I feel like a new man. This is awesome. So, yeah.
What?
Oh, fuck. I am like...
Serious.
I never heard somebody this overjoyed about a colonoscopy in my life.
Uh-huh.
Mike,
yeah.
Although Mike is a coffee enema guy, right, Mike?
Yeah, sure. Not like... Man, that's... But the way Rudy describes it, it's
yeah.
like... Where did he go?
You guys have been going to the wrong doctor. I had Camp Pelton. Camp Pelton was great.
I went to some garage in Oceanside.
Yeah.
Camp Pelton was fantastic.
The best part of the colonoscopy are the drugs.
I think not. You know what? I don't really remember like them putting me. I told them, like, did you even put me under? Like, oh, yeah, we put you under. I'm like, I remember talking to you guys. Like, I don't know. I don't remember anything as far as, like, them putting me under it all. I felt like I was, like, relaxed, but I didn't feel like I was, like, asleep. You know what I mean? Like, I was there.
That's the Michael Jackson drug, man. That's how sweet.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, that's how sweet that drug is. Yeah, you're not as judgmental about that guy, are you, after that drug, huh?
Yeah.
No, it's funny because I felt... I remember you saying too, Mac, after you had yours, like you felt all refreshed. Like I came home.
Wait, okay, stop. Whoa. Stop right now. I did not say I felt refreshed. I said the drug was incredible. Because it just for people that don't sleep well, that drug, I was only asleep, you're asleep for about an hour or so when they do it. Man, I'll tell you what, it's just like, and then they wake you up, and you're like, oh, man, can we do that again? That was like, I haven't slept like that in 10 years. It was awesome. And so that, well, I didn't go off the deep end about feeling all, you know, warm and good about myself and feeling cleansed. I didn't go that direction, okay? So I just want to make.
It's been great. I tell you, I was at Pendleton by 7:30. I was out there by 9:30, 2 hours total. That's everything. I pulled up at 7:30, out by 9:30. Yeah. It's awesome.
No, you know what? For a lot of guys avoid that because, you know, the whole George Costanza thing. If I go there and have this thing, will I, you know, will it change me into a homosexual, right? I mean, who needs that when you got a wife and kids and all of a sudden, you know, you have to go through all that. So there's a lot of trauma associated with colonoscopies. But the reality is, you know, the drug is sweet. You don't even feel anything when they do it. And then you get, you know.
Well, what I was scared about was the whole cleanse. Like, I was afraid it's like something out of the movies where, like, you drink it and then you're like, you can't control yourself. You're like crapping all over your shorts and like in your bed. Like, no, it just cleans you out. Like, you just, oh, I guess I got to go sit in the toilet now. And you go sit in the toilet and then it's like drinking liquid plumber. Like, it just flushes you out. You know what I mean? It's just flushes you out. You're done. The key is though, you got to eat light the day prior because that water day, the cleanse day, it's all nothing but liquid, right? It's nothing but clear liquid and Gatorade and lots of water. And then you drink the stuff in that evening, and then you basically, it cleans you out. But the day prior, like, I ate real light. I had some sushi for dinner, and it made Sunday much easier. And, like, they're like, oh, you need baby wipes and ointment. Like, no, you don't. Like, you sit in the toilet, like, four times, and you're done. It's like flushing the toilet literally out of your body. And then you go in Monday morning. I went in Monday morning, and you got to drink a little more of it, a little more. They want one more last cleanse, so you do a little bit more Monday morning, and then you got to go one more time on the toilet, and that's about it. And then you go in there, and you're in and out in 2 hours. And then they give you the images, and they tell you, like me, it was like there was spick and span, everything looked good, and you feel good. And you feel like, all right, the scope's clean, and I feel refreshed. Like, this couldn't have got any better. Like, it was awesome. Like,
they reset the odometer.
Odometer's
reset.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, spring in my step now. Like, woohoo! All right. Back in the fight, baby. So, yeah. Yeah, it's great.
Oh, what? I kind of love that.
Although, I was just at the VA. I'm literally driving back to the VA today. Of course, they disapproved my knee.
Of course,
you know what I
mean? They
did. A fully torn ACL. And MCL, meanwhile, the VA advocate here in San Diego is going, I cannot believe they're missing this slam dunk. A slam dunk. It's a T-ball. Fully torn ACL, MCL. The data you're providing is not have evidence to show that you are entitled to any disability. It's a fully torn ACL and MCL.
Fake news.
Well, the MRI and the, it's like, because I didn't demand surgery and go to BAS every week complaining about it, that was like my fault. You know what I mean? Like, the guy, the advocate down here, it's just like, I cannot believe they're doing this to you. Like, so we're going back in, submitting more paperwork and rebuttal again. But you just got to be kidding me. A fully torn ACL and MCL that occurred on active duty from chronic running and hiking and conditioning. Like, that is a T-ball. There's not even anything hidden about that. Serve it up and hit it. And they missed it.
Hold on. I got an email for you. So let me get this straight. Mike just had his gallbladder out, and Rudy just rode the Silver Stallion. And am I correct or incorrect? Did Rudy drop speed after the procedure? Rudy, did you do a little speed after the procedure? You're a little wound up, bro.
I'm a little, because I just left the VA. That's like coming out of a boxing ring. You're like jazzed up. So, yeah.
You just talked for 20 minutes about your colonoscopy.
I'm telling you, man, if you haven't had it done, and it, well, here's the thing is, I didn't realize this. See, my dad had colon cancer.
Oh, fuck, I can't take it.
Go ahead.
Hey, back up. Yeah, no, so if you've had history of colon cancer, they say, okay, when is your father had or mother had colon cancer, right? My father had it at age 55-ish. So they dropped 10 years off that. And that's when you need to start getting it. Otherwise, normal guys could start getting them at 50, age 50. But for me, I had to go at 45 because my dad had it at 55, right? So,
okay. But
dude, that stuff's like serious, man. You got to get that. You got to get it scoped. Like, I was all tentative and like, I don't want to do this. Blah, blah, blah. After I had it done, I'm like, I'm telling everybody, go get this done. Like, you, easy, and you'll feel refreshed. Trust me, mentally and physically. It's the same stuff that they give you for the cleanse. It's the same stuff that all the Hollywood actors are doing up in L.A., you know, and then they do their water enema cleansing. You know what I mean? The same stuff.
Did Tom Cruise do it when he filmed Top Gun?
I don't know, but, you know, Craig Corsi and Gunner do the cleanse thing. Like, I don't know.
No, that's Montana Man used to. Montana Man used to do the cleanse with the horse stuff. That's hardcore, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he'd horse cleanse. Yeah,
this a veterinarian. No. I need some medicine, and then you take it yourself. Remember that in Seinfeld, where Kramer takes the stuff that and he's in the back of the car and he starts. You guys remember that episode? He takes the veterinary medicine.
Okay, here's the conversation. I read something about this. We're in Afghanistan, right? So just a normal day, Rudy.
I was there. I remember this.
Okay, so I'm reading something about coffee enemas, and who blows through the combat operations center? But Gunner, and I say this is crazy. People take coffee enemas, and what does Mike look at me and say? Yeah, what about it?
I'm like, I did that.
I'm like, what? It's like, yeah, I've done that. So Mike, and so I said, come on. He said, no. So Mike, explain.
And of course, I said he did it too.
Explain the coffee enema.
Oh, Mac, I can't remember. That was a long time ago. Hey, let's talk. I'm on OxyContin, man. I can only think about what happened like today.
Okay, all right, let's talk about today. So you want to talk about Trump, the president's speech?
I didn't see it.
Okay, so
I saw a lot of things coming off of it, but.
So you didn't see it. Okay, so what do you want to talk about?
I don't know. Hey, I will tell you, though, have you ever taken oxycodone?
Never.
Man. I don't know if it's just me, but when I close my eyes at night or when I'm watching the ceiling, I see lights racing all over the ceiling. And then when I close my eyes, I see collages of like billboards of moving things moving across the ceiling. It was really weird. I had to open my eyes every once in a while to kind of look around the room, you know, and just kind of do that.
Gunner is playing Gary Busey.
The what?
As long as Gunner doesn't turn into Gary Busey, he's going to be like loving himself.
No, you're going to turn
That'd
into
be actually...
Gary Busey? Yeah, he's got, you know, he's got some big issues.
He's got some defensive problems.
Yeah, no kidding. So, Mike, what was...
So the hospital stay was really great. The nurses were fantastic. The food was out of this world. I mean, it was really good. Yeah, psyllium husk. I've done that. That's it.
Yeah, that's what Rob did. Psyllium husk.
Yeah, it's the pills and the drink.
But he did the powder though. The powder stuff that they gave to animals. But you did a coffee enema along with that. But you can't remember it, so we can't talk about it.
Yeah, that was. I think where that was. I don't remember.
All right. What about they don't open you up though, right, Mike? With gallbladder surgery, they just go in.
No, it's laparoscopic.
Right. They go in and
I got four holes in my abdomen. They fill you with air. They poke a hole, fill you with air. Poke other holes, remove it, and then pull it out through one of the holes.
Wow, that's crazy, isn't it?
I wanted to keep it.
Yeah.
Tina, I guess, told the doctor no.
Well, they didn't take out the stones. They took out the whole bladder.
Yeah, but then you can, if you get the bladder, then the stones are in it. You just open up just the bladder to get the stones.
Ah.
I wanted to keep the stones and put them in our fountain where we got all these rocks. And Tina looked at me like I was on drugs, which I was. But Stone.
That'd be pretty hardcore.
See? I'd say, you know what's special about this fountain? It also has stone, my gallstones in it somewhere. But no, the wife said no.
You hear people having their babies and they keep the placenta and they go bury it in the backyard. I've heard women doing that. Do you guys hear that?
Yeah. And we think that's like accept. Me keeping my gallstones is gross, but women keeping the placentas is okay.
Who said that was okay?
Women do.
I'm telling you, that's out there. Yeah, he's right.
Now, come on. I mean, let's.
Yeah.
To do what with it?
Make tea?
I knew a woman. Name not to be revealed. I knew a woman that did it. She buried it in her backyard.
Why? You guys are out of your mind.
No.
Okay.
They do. They keep it.
You guys are starting to, nobody, like, do you know any woman that's done that?
Yes,
do I know
I
of
do.
Any woman?
Yes.
Yeah, that's done that.
Yes.
You do. Rudy knows a woman that's kept a placenta, and Mike, you know a woman that's done that too?
No.
Thank you.
Well, I don't know. Maybe. They never admitted to me. But right here, there's an article on it. New York News and Politics. Why more women are keeping their placentas than actually eating them.
You know, I've heard that. I've heard there's so much nutrition in them that they're...
A study that claimed 86% mothers are experiencing lactation problems showing improved milk after eating freeze-dried placenta.
This show is just, this is like an all-time, this is an all-time low right today.
It's that of the consistency of steer liver. Oh, God.
So yesterday I'm working and all of a sudden, boop, this thing pops up on my phone. Mike Musselman is now live broadcasting on Facebook. I'm like, here we go. And
driving home from the hospital,
showing us the whole way home. And his wife, who's a saint, okay, she gets chased around the house with the live broadcast on occasion, okay? And and she, you know, he sent a picture before he went into surgery. He's all whacked out. Right, you know, it looks horrible, laying in bed. And who's sitting next to him reading a book? Saint Tina, right? Who's
that? There's Tina right there.
Oh, man. It's like, you know what? You're so married over your head. What a joke. What a joke. Did you apologize and say, you know what, Tina, I want to apologize for just being the jackass that I am. Thank you. I love you. Did you say anything like that?
Yeah, all the time.
All right. But you say it all the time, right? That's why on any given day, you don't believe in that. Okay.
Well, it's funny. Whenever I've been around Tina, she just kind of shakes her head and rolls her eyes. Like, that's him.
Yeah. Come
but
on.
But she lets me be me. Yeah. Which is fun.
Which is fun. Okay. Email here. Gallbladder. I've heard that the pain leading up to that, whether you have an issue with your gallbladder or stones, is extremely painful. Mike, the pain on a scale of 1 to 10.
It's a 10.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was some pain.
Yeah. I've heard that.
Like I said, they were giving me, and what they were giving me like morphine, prior to the surgery every 2 hours. So, and it was still hurting, but. Not as bad.
Okay. All right. Another email. Hey, Mac, in case you don't know, after hearing about Rudy's family history, he is on a post... Hold on. He is on a post-near-death euphoria high. That's what you're hearing today. All right? People get them when they have close calls. And Rudy obviously is very relieved, given his family history. So why don't you let him just continue to talk about his colonoscopy because he's so happy? Is that what you had going? Rudy, you're no stranger to near-death experiences. Is that what we have going here, a little post-near-death euphoria?
I'm a little euphoric. I'm not denying it. A little spring in the step. I agree with what Gunner said. It's kind of like having your odometer reset. I mean, you know, we're all getting older. We're all feeling like what's going on down there, and you get a good scope, and all of a sudden, like, oh, everything's clean, look great. Because you know, a lot of times you start Googling crap, and you start hearing what people's experiences were, and it's pretty normal to find what they call polyps in there, and they cut them out and they test them. For me, I didn't have anything. Like, it was, like, clear. So I'm like, it's just a big relief. You know what I mean? You're just like,
How long had you been stressing about this?
6 months.
Yeah. So this is a little bit of a burden off your back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm on the 5-year rotation now, so I go back in at age 50. So.
Nice. All right, my guests this morning are in some phase of post-operative bliss. Michael Musselman, a little bit more subdued than Rudy, who's right now experiencing post-near-death euphoria. And we're glad to be living it with them as only you can. So we're gonna take a quick break, and then I got a couple questions. I got a couple emails and a couple more questions for doing old man VA radio today on a Wednesday hump day edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. So boys, don't touch that dial. Don't do anything. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer, but I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good. But the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
As we recognize the service of America's men and women in uniform, let's also honor the families who sacrifice so much every day. Military families endure frequent deployments and separations. They carry on while their loved ones are sent into harm's way and wait patiently for their safe return. If you really want to honor a veteran, look for ways to support their families and thank them for their sacrifices. Go to legion.org/honorveterans to find out how you can help.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. .944 on the West Coast. Toby Keith. I sing the shit out of this song.
She left a yellow rose and a long neck bottle on the table beside my bed. With a short little
How about that, boys? Could not even tell I was singing over the top of him.
I didn't know which one was Toby Keith or you.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, now, Mike Musselman joins us freshly out of the hospital in Granbury, Texas, and he's pretty subdued. Kurt Knowles, actually living live on the air with us, post near-death euphoria because his family has a history of colon cancer. Or cancer, period.
And prostate cancer. Well, and my mother passed away of breast cancer.
Ooh.
Yeah, my mother had breast cancer, passed away last year. Actually, it was October 2015. That's been a little over a year, it's hard to believe. And my dad and my grandfather had prostate cancer. My dad had colon cancer. So, yeah, I'm always on the edge about that stuff.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. So let me stop you.
Go ahead.
I've got two questions. Mike, question for you first. Okay, and then Rudy, then we'll come back to you. How do they test your gallbladder? I mean, Mike, they're supposed to pick stones and stuff up. That's not like a hard diagnosis, is it?
No. Like I said, you got to practice medicine first. So the pick up the stones. They did three things. They did a ultrasound that picked up the stones. They did a CT scan with the dye that picked up the stones. And then they did this thing called, I can't remember the name of it, but it hurt like hell. And what they do is it makes the gallbladder, it's a test, it's nuclear medicine, and they put a dye in you. But it makes your gallbladder actually eject the bile. So it goes into these, make sure it tests, it's basically testing your gallbladder. It's the mechanism. It doesn't feel great. Makes you feel sick to your stomach. But it's like HIDA scan. That's what they call it, HIDA scan. And, that's not a very good thing. Creates pictures of your liver, gallbladder, biliary tract, and small intestine. Eye scan can also be used for imaging study and nuclear medicine. So, yeah, they do it. It's called a HIDA scan. So those three things.
All right. So,
HIDA, CT.
How did they miss yours? I don't want to make you mad. It's not a very difficult diagnosis, right?
You take an ultrasound device and you look over where the gallbladder is at, and if you don't know, you open your medical books and there's a picture of it right underneath the liver. And if you don't know where the liver is at, then you look where the kidney's at. You know, you'll figure it out. And then you see little stones inside this little itty bitty sack sitting there hanging suspended above your liver or underneath your liver.
Okay. All right.
And then those would be gallstones.
Okay. All right. Rudy, talk to us about with the history of cancer. How old are you today?
45.
So how often do you get checked? And I know it's people that have family histories. I mean, it's that kind of it's what's in the closet kind of today. And I totally understand going, and I didn't want to go get a colonoscopy, and I'd never had one, and I don't have a big history. But I was a little bit nervous to go get one, and I didn't have any kind of a history of colon cancer. I can only imagine, you know, the kind of the nervousness that you felt. And then you had some issues, right? Some physical issues that also caused you a little bit of concern. So no wonder you feel good about it. But how do you get checked? Is it an annual checkup? Do you have to do anything more if you have a family history?
Well, because prostate cancer tends to happen, you know, from anywhere, I'd say, you know, it's funny, you start learning about this stuff, kind of like Mike's doing. Like, he talks very intelligently about this stuff because you're going through it and living it. You end up educating yourself. But testicular cancer is, to be honest with you, they say that's between age 25 and 35, you're high risk. Then prostate cancer tends to be from about age 40 to 60, right? Well, what they do is they look at your family history and they say, when did your father or mother start diagnosed, and they typically back it off 10 years, right? So my father and my grandfather both were in their 50s when they got diagnosed with prostate cancer. And so, but as a rule of thumb, so then what they do is back that off 10 years. So I've been getting pretty in-depth screening with prostate cancer for about the last 5 years, maybe even longer than that. Which they've got a good history on what's called your PSA.
Right.
And then they do the physical exams. Now, to put in perspective, they caught Norman Schwarzkopf prostate cancer via the physical exam. They caught Colin Powell's via the PSA. So it's kind of like you do both, and if they both show a flag, then you've probably got it, you know. And they've also made some studies that, okay, maybe we don't jump the gun right away with prostate cancer, like a diagnosis. Now they're kind of taking a breath, where they used to, the moment you flagged on one, they almost immediately started treating. Now they run a bunch of different scans. They'll take a biopsy. They'll do things to ensure that they can confirm you've got it. So I get screened a lot for prostate. Then my father, since he had the colon cancer, they backed that off 10 years, and that's when I got the colonoscopy. Now, what the doctor told me on Monday, and this is, I think, maybe it is a little euphoria, but he says if you hadn't got colonoscopies,
a lot of euphoria, one of the two.
If you hadn't got the colonoscopy, your chances of cancer were 18% because of your family history. Now that you've had the colonoscopy, you dropped your chances of cancer down to 3%. Right? So I went from essentially one out of every five people getting cancer to one out of, well, probably call it three out of every 100. So that's significantly lowered the chance of me getting colon cancer by getting this colonoscopy done. Because now they can, the early detection is the key, right? So that was huge for a relief of not having early signs of any type of cancer right now. Now you're talking about why is it that you were basically telling a doctor something's not right, and I've been talking to you about this offline, but you know, most of us, as we get older, especially you guys that are physical, you start getting, you know, the hemorrhoid issues and things like that as you get older. Well,
what?
Fighter pilots are very prone to hemorrhoids because all the pulling of the G's, right?
So
you're straining, trying to force blood up in your head, and you end up, you know, blowing gaskets down there. Well, what they found in the colonoscopy is I have some subtle internal hemorrhoids that's what's causing the pressure, right? So it's not any, there's not any gross, there's no cancer, it's subtle, not subtle, it's small, minor internal hemorrhoids, which is just flying for years and lifting weights for years. It's just caused some rupturing in there, that some inflammation, you know, and, so that's also a relief, is what's the smoking gun of why am I getting pressure in that area and something's not feeling right. Literally the scope showed it in as clear as day, is you have internal hemorrhoids. And the doctor's like, there's not much you can do about it. It's minor. You're just going to have to live with it, but at least we know what it is. So yeah, that's what was causing the pressure.
All right. Well, that's tremendous relief to you, yes?
Yeah. No, it's nice not only to find out what is causing the pressure, but also to know it's not cancer.
Email for both of you guys. Hey, Mac, a little bit humorous with Old Man Radio today. However, it does bring up one of the issues that I think we all deal with, is, and that is the quality of care at the VA. I'm astounded to hear that both these guys are having to fight for the appropriate care. I'm curious, how did Mike get his gallstones or his gallbladder condition diagnosed appropriately? So, Mike, who ultimately did the
private doctor?
Private doctor. And then who did?
I have all my doctors are private doctors. They're all here in Granbury, Weatherford, or Aledo.
And that's through what program?
That's through...
The Choice Program? Is that what they call it?
Yeah, that's through TRICARE Choice or Standard or whatever it is called.
All right.
And I pay for that. Big time.
You pay for that out of your own pocket?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. And then, Rudy, the deal with your knee, it's just... they're saying that there's not enough documentation there to document your blown out knee.
Yeah, can you believe that? And I literally have MRI images and orthopedic surgeons reports talking about the what the tear is, the severity of the tear, the full tear, a partial tear on the MCL. They're missing it. Like, even the VA advocate today, who was great, he's like, I can't believe they're missing this. Like, it's just so easy, you know? And to be honest with you, this is, I think I echo a lot of what the frustration is. This is why I go to Camp Pendleton Naval Hospital. They treat me just like I'm still on active duty, and I can't rave enough about just great care. I'm so reluctant to switch my care over to the VA. Like, I I just don't want to go there. It's just, I hear nothing but, you know that feeling like, well, I'll give it a try. It can't be, this must be a unique. It just must be Mike out there in Texas. Like, they're missing a fully torn ACL and MCL, and the documentation essentially says that due to the fact that you have not, you have not complained about it enough, we're not going to award you any disability rating, even 0%. Like, they're essentially saying it's non-existent. That's what the VA advocate here in San Diego is like, I can't believe they're missing this. Like, I cannot believe they're not accepting the fact that you have a fully torn ACL and partially torn MCL that occurred on active duty. It wasn't like it happened
last week. Well, your promise, again, you didn't. And that's just it. You didn't complain about it. You sucked it up. You didn't go to BAS. You didn't go on light duty. You didn't make someone else do extra flight hours or take extra job. You did what was required of you. And then you sucked it up because Marines, that's what we're taught to do. And then at the end, what happens? Bend over because you're about to take it in the ass. And this ain't a colonoscopy. This ain't feeling
good. Yeah, and I'll tell you, you're exactly right. And the one I started, you know, having really concerns with it was in 2015 when I went to the orthopedic surgeon, because I would get out of the car, and as you know, that little bit of lateral movement as you're sliding out of your seat, my knee would like lock, and I'm like, oh, like it would just stop me in my tracks. So then I'm like, I got to get this seen. Like, what's going on? Well, that's when I started doing all the MRIs, and I met with the orthopedic surgeon, and that's when they, I mean, you guys had this stuff kind of done where they grab your, basically your lower part of your leg, and they start torquing on your knee and seeing what the lateral stability is, and he's like, you know, to be honest with you, like, you're strong enough where I would say the surgery right now isn't probably necessary. He goes, I'll do it if you want it, but you're strong enough. If you can live with it, I would just live with it. That's the orthopedic surgeon. And it's funny, it's no kidding. This week, I was sipping on a cup of coffee talking to an orthopedic surgeon that's very renowned in the western part of the United States, and I told him what the guy said at Camp Pendleton. He goes, I would concur with that.
Yeah.
He goes, if you're able to jump up and down stairs, if you're able to step off a curve and that knee is holding, don't mess with it. Because for us to get in there to scrape out all that scar tissue and put a cadaver's ligament in there, I cannot guarantee you're going to have a better knee at the end of that than what you have today.
A better outcome.
Yeah, exactly.
No. And then, but you know, what the body does is everything around it strengthens to stabilize
that's
it,
right,
to keep it all, and that's how that ecosystem works. But no, it's just frustrating. So Rudy, you're good to go now.
What's that? I'm sorry.
You're good to go. Other than your blown ass gasket, you're good to go.
Yeah. And it's pretty minor, to be honest with you. Like it's almost like it's a mental relief. Like, well, I know what that
right.
is. It's kind of like, you know, whatever. It's because of stress acts when you're like, what is that? Is it cancer? Is it, you know, what's going on? You know.
I thought you meant that feeling that you're having right now. Like, what is that feeling I have? Oh, it's mental. I'm good with that because I know that was a scope that was up there.
I would highly recommend it, though. I was telling you.
We heard it, man.
Rudy's going to start it. Yes. Rudy's going to come out with a home colostomy kit. Where you can actually scope yourself while you're laying in bed.
Hey, I'm going to turn that first 20 minutes of this hour into an infomercial, man. That is the most high-speed, fast-talking, fired-up dude. Mike, how long's your recovery?
I got 2 weeks, like, in and out of bed, rest. No, I can't lift anything over 10 pounds.
Can you work on the model?
No. No.
So the model's just going to continue to languish. Until
I showed you the model.
I know, but a paintbrush doesn't weigh 10 pounds.
No, but it's sitting in that chair. Like, right now, man, I got a king bed that's one of those adjustable, so the legs go up, the back comes up. So it's like a hospital bed. Big orthopedic mattress. So it's kind of, right now, the bed is in a big S, so I'm kind of propped up. My legs are up. And I'm in a nice darkened room with the fan going, with a big screen TV in front of me. And I got the controls right here. I can raise it up.
Mike lives the life down in Texas, man.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah, he does.
He lives the life, man.
Good support structure, good friends.
Yeah.
He's got the best friends of both worlds. He's got his Marine Corps buddies, and he's got his Texas family, you know?
All right.
Yeah, you know.
But
I'm looking at the clock. You got to get going for Mac Talk?
Did you see the thing I got posted real quick? I'm gonna send it to you guys. Did you see it?
No. I haven't.
I said, listen, here. I said, reason number 34 why Granbury is such a great place. And I said, never too many great friends to stop by and spend time with.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. And it's the same thing with you guys. I mean, when we would spend time, you know, and then my point was this, is time is your most precious gift. You have a set amount of it, and only you can give it away. No one can take it from you. You can only give it away. You can make more money, but you can't make more time. And when you give someone your time, you're giving them a portion of your life that you'll never get back. Your time is your life, and that's why the greatest gift that you can give someone is your time. And I said, man, that's why I always look back and I say, you know, the greatest times that I've had were with you guys and my, you know, the friends that I enjoyed spending time with.
Are you gonna cry?
Wow, I'm gonna close on that.
Are you crying or yawning?
Can't beat that.
I was young.
I can't beat that.
Okay. I was going to say.
Yeah. Mac or Big Cat's probably crying right now.
He won't come on the program.
We gotta get him on. He's gotta come on with.
He's afraid.
He's gotta come on with Kim on Cooking Friday.
Oh, are you kidding? No. He wouldn't make it through the episode. He'd have to say, "I'm out. I gotta go eat." He wouldn't make it through. He's afraid though. He's afraid. Luke, he's kind of a button down guy. And
well, he doesn't know what his voice would sound like, and that's why he's afraid.
But these guys can attest. Who would pretend they were on the radio all the time in Afghanistan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like a Luke show in the back.
Yeah, all of a sudden he'd yell.
McConnell show.
Yeah, he'd yell, "And we're back!" Like, what? Yeah,
all of a sudden.
Out of the blue.
I forgot he was doing that.
Out of the blue. Oh. And we're back! Shut up.
Like, we're in the middle of a medevac. Oh, my God. It's like, are we on Johnny Carson, or are we attacking a target right now?
What the hell? Luke.
He was kind of your Jim McMahon back there. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you were kind of Johnny Carson, and he was like the Jim McMahon in the back.
Lucas and Rudy are much more respectful than Mike and I are. Mike and I will go places that some people won't go. Rudy will kind of like, he'll tangentially hang with us. Lucas won't go even where Rudy goes. He likes it, but he likes it clean.
You guys are very raw. You guys tell it as it is. I think that's why a lot of the upper brass like you around. You need to have somebody that's intelligent, but tells you like it is and don't give me the salesman speech. Tell me what's really going on here. I think that's why you both have the reputation you do and were as successful as you were. You know, you tell it like it is. But you got to have street credibility to do it. You can't just have some dude walk in and go, "This is how it's supposed to be done." Like, no, you've got to have the battle cred in order to be able to do that kind of stuff. But
you know, a little bit of sense of humor,
very raw.
A little bit of sense of humor always helps too. I mean, you can always dial up the awkward factor, and we weren't afraid to do that. But you know, most people are trying. They're just, you know, when they need your help. I mean, you know, as Mike just said, giving them your time. You know, making a little bit of a joke and say, "Hey, here's what you should do," and then go do this, and then go talk to the gunner and sit down and talk to him. And and then it's cool. I mean, but Luke, and we're back.
Forget that.
Oh,
I'm gonna sign off, fellas.
No.
You gotta get the Mac top.
Not yet. His ears were blazing. No, I thought it was from McConnell. Somebody sent me a message with a hidden address. Could have been a big call. Anyway, all right, guys. Well, first of all, Rudy, congratulations. On your clean colon. I know there was a lot more to worry about. But and Mike, great to see you on the camera yesterday. Why did your face look fat? What was up with that?
That trick lens on my phone on. that circus one that you look close and it makes you like weird.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, boys. Thanks for the visit. We'll talk to you.
All right,
man,
see you, brother.
All right, the all medical radio all the time. Oh man, that is hilarious. The Washington Post reported that somebody just found a fossil that's 3.77 billion years old, the oldest living thing ever found. How about that? 3.77 billion. A billion. That's a lot of years. Anyway, my thanks in the order of appearance. Justin Constantine for coming on and taking my abuse this morning. To Grant Newsham. If you haven't heard that interview, get to the website and listen to that. He's a brilliant guy about China and very insightful. And we're obviously lucky to have him on. So Grant Newsham came on today talking about Japan amphibious forces, their role, how the Japanese see that role. And he also answered some interesting questions. What's going on with the continued development of the atolls in the South China Sea, the islands in the atolls there, And there was reports in the Washington Post last week about missiles being deployed and whatnot. So he kind of clarifies that, gives us another place to look. So get Google Earth out, listen to the interview, and paint that picture for yourself. And then we'll go ahead. And then Mike Musselman and Rudy came on with his high-speed, euphoric post-near-death colonoscopy, which was obviously a huge burden off his shoulder. So all good news today. Anyway, thanks for listening. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Tomorrow, Transition Thursday, so we'll talk transition and we'll talk Marines on management. So that coming up next on a tomorrow. So have a great afternoon on a Wednesday. All Marine Radio out. You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.